So which text last week we covered? Text 30?
30 and 31.
32 and 32, right? 32 and 32. 31 and 32. 32 and 32. 32 also. 32 also. You are not here, right? Yeah, I heard audio.
But maybe I didn't do good job hearing it.
Ravi, you want to share?
No, 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 I'm fine.
Okay.
I've downgraded.
Better now. Okay, what was the transformation or the change from we ended 30 was the end of one, like, right? One
Sankhya philosophy.
Yes. So then 31 is Krishna started with
activities you perform. Swadharma.
Right, occupational duties. So it, this was a little bit lower than the you were talking about Sankhya philosophy, that's on, like, you know, really transcendental or spiritual platform. This is coming to your kind of a material platform. As he's saying it as an occupational duty, right? Arjuna, you know, he's asking him to perform his occupational duty. So I'll just read the English translation. Text 31. Considering your specific duty as a Kshatriya, you should know that there is no better engagement for you than fighting on religious principles. And so there is no need for hesitation. Text 32. O Partha, happy are the Kshatriyas to whom such fighting opportunities come unsought, opening for them the doors of the heavenly planets. So any points on text 31? What all did we discuss? What's the definition of Kshatriya?
To protect.
A person who is trained to kill.
So, but yeah. Right, Prabhupada. Kshat means art. One who gives protection from the art is called Kshatriya. Trayate to give protection. Kshatriya. And what else? So Krishna is specifically text 31 and 32. He's talking about benefits. If Arjuna as a Kshatriya, if he fights the war, so what benefits he's going to get? Right? If these are benefits, he's going to go to the heavenly planets if he dies on the kingdom. So it's kind of a benefit. Text 31 and text 32 is specifically if he fights as a Kshatriya, if he does his duty, he's going to go to heavenly planets. So that's a benefit for him if he performs his duty. So what else did we discuss? Text 30.
The four varnas and the four ashramas.
Yes. What are four varnas?
Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya and Shudra.
And ashramas? Four ashramas?
Brahmacharya, Grihastha ashram, Varnaprastha and Sannyas.
Sannyas. That's correct. And Varnashrama Dharma is based on?
Guna.
Guna and?
Okay. Karma.
Karma. And what's the current status?
Birth and karma.
Janma and karma, or janma, that's what mainly, right? No.
So two types of swadharmas. What are the two kinds of swadharmas?
Spiritual and the bodily.
So bodily platform, the swadharma is like varnashrama dharma, and spiritual duties are given by a spiritual master. Like especially with respect to our specific service to the Lord.
And for Vaishnava, what's our... So is it clear for all of us what's our occupational duties? So if you want to apply this Varnashrama Dharma for us, so is it a clear demarcation between, you know, for whom, what to do? Like, is it clear this age of Kali Yuga? Can we find somebody, you know, really proper Brahmana or proper Kshatriya, Vaishya? No, it's all muddled up, right? That's why Kali Yuga, it's all kind of muddled up. It's all mixed up.
All Shudras.
All basically born as a Shudras. Everybody is born as a Shudras. So how do we perform?
We go to goodness.
Yes. So how do we, so what should be our duty then in Kali Yuga?
Go to goodness and become pure goodness is Vaishnava.
Yeah. But what's the recommended duty for all of us? What's our duty in general? What should be our duty or goal? See, we don't know our duty. For example, I can tell I have some kind of, you know, like little bit of Kshatriya spirit. But it's all, that's my mental speculation. So, how can I be directed towards spiritual path? If it's on my own, I assume I'm a Kshatriya. And I try to act as a Kshatriya, try to control people, all those things I do. But then, because there's no proper the division, nobody follows, then I will end up in trouble.
Probably for the final goal is Krishna consciousness. I mean, that's what we talk about.
To love off,
basically. It doesn't matter whether it's Kshatriya or Shudra. The definitions are all erased at that point.
So basically, in this Kali Yuga, it's mostly it's based on the chanting. But Lord's holy name.
So that is our occupational duty. That's what we're trying to
So that should be our kind of occupational duty.
Then, the class before, he said there were three things, right? There was japa, service, and
association.
So once you are on the, once you come to, you take the spiritual step, of course, the tough life, all that, you know, to make your, to have the determination, make it stronger, so you have to do all that activities, chanting, association, prasadam or service, then you will be, you know, fixed in the, fixed on the path. Otherwise you will again get diverted. So in this Kali Yuga, because no one of us, nobody is there, you know, really, when you take birth, nobody guides us. You know, you are a Kshatriya, you do your this, nobody guides. So that's why, you know, when you come to the, at least that's why it's recommended, chanting is important. So when you chant and, you know, take up devotional service, then you can overcome or you don't get confused on the path. You can see, finally, Varnashrama Dharma is also to achieve the Lord. It's a gradual step, elevation, to go back to Godhead. That's the goal of Varnashrama Dharma. So here also same thing, because it's made it easier in Kali Yuga, because all of us are, you know, all because of the four defects, right? We have all the four defects. That's why, you know, Krishna has given the chanting. Holy name. It's more easier for us to go back to God just by chanting. And of course, so we do work still. We have to work as a Shudras and all that. We have to work. But we work as a service. That also as a service. The work. So that's a Karma Yoga. So using our work or a result as an offering to the Lord. Then that also gets purified. So you're getting both benefits. You have to work as a Shudra. You know, we are all born Shudras. We cannot say, no, I'm a Brahmana, I'm not going to work. We cannot do that because we are families. We have to take care of families. And especially, you know, like women, all them, they have to take care of kids or, you know, at home. That's how society is built. But everything is now kind of changing. But if you know always what's our goal, then you know how to, you know, put things in proper perspective.
So Prabhu, when you go to work, yeah, you talked about doing work, right, and offering it as prasad. Do you do that every day?
Yeah, I just pray before starting your work. You can always pray to Krishna, like, you know, please protect me. I want to work this, whatever work I'm going to do, I want to do this as offering. So that you can pray, but then of course you can focus on your work. You may not be able to think every moment about, you know, good Krishna and not doing, that's not the... So then once you get the money, right, whatever results you are going to get from the duty you do, of course you are going to support your family. That's also a service, because you basically want to make your family Krishna conscious. So you are going to feed them, right, you are going to take care of them. Then also always you can donate a little bit to temple for the Lord, you know. Anyway, that's one kind of, we are trying to differentiate, but it's all service. You can use it to work as a service. By donating your money, that money also get purified for the Lord. So, yes, you can, yeah, use it.
But every day you start with a prayer.
Yeah, you can always
pray. That's what.
And also, you can always apply the whatever principles we are learning. Like last week, the Prabhu gave specifically, right, how to be a good, to build good relationship with your colleagues. So that's also, it's all again, you know. So basically, finally, at the end of the day, somebody should appreciate your qualities, saying, you know, this person is so, has so nice qualities. Then after that, you know, analyze, then they try to find out you're doing something to have that qualities, like you're following something. Then they'll become more curious. And anybody, you know, I don't think anybody will say, I don't want to be a good person. If I see some good quality in some person, for sure I'm a little bit inquisitive to find out and, you know, apply in my own life. Right? If you have that sane mind, for sure we'll think, oh, if this person has really good quality, I want to, you know, in my also I want to build that quality. So that way also you can preach. That's also preaching. Of course, it's for our own practice. Then you can affect others also that way, you know, by qualities, having good and being good regulation, you know, having very good regulated life. Yeah, many ways we can preach. Yeah, everything can be used in the service of the Lord.
But in reality, envy comes first rather than looking for a good quality of any person. Let's say any person, everyone has good or bad.
Yeah, I know, that's why.
No one is perfect, but if I will look, first I will look for the weak points, okay, these are the weak points.
Yeah, basically we have the tendency to control, so you want to be a better person than the other. That's why we try to put them down and step on them and you try to be a better person.
So how to practice that? We will not think in that direction.
Always you have to remember.
It's just conscious.
Remember, you have to be conscious.
It's so difficult.
See, that's why it's Prabhupada says, first you have to be conscious, then you can be a Krishna conscious.
Mm-hmm. We should understand that whatever qualities everybody has, it's coming from Krishna. Right? Actually, if we are envious of anybody, even if it's a non-devotee, it is said it's a reflection of envy of Krishna.
Mm.
We may not see like that. We may think actually, you know, I'm devoted, you know, I'm chanting Krishna's name, no, I want to do service to Krishna, so I don't have envy for Krishna. Right? At a broad level, yes, we don't have, but we have very, very core, so much envy for Krishna, that whenever we see somebody reflecting Krishna's qualities, we become envious. Like, how come this person? Actually, that person is just, that person may not know. He may think, oh, I am the one who achieved it, or, you know, I have the knowledge, or, you know, I did the design. But actually, that ability is coming from Krishna. That's how we see it. And when we see we are envious, we should remember that, see, actually this is envy, my envy for Krishna, it's coming out like this. Krishna, through this person, is showing me how much I'm envious of him. So we pray, and Prabhu is especially told, right, one key thing to resolve envy is to do service. Especially among devotees, that's safer, like, because any devotee we can just simply serve. Non-devotees, we have to see, you know, how, what's the best way we can serve. We can't just go offer, you know, milk and water to them. They may not appreciate, but we have to figure out how we can serve them like that. So, and envy is that is one of the main things, you know, it takes long time to go away. And
they're talking about envy and lust, right? Probably.
Yeah.
Saying those are the only two qualities that don't go.
Yeah, they are the difficult things to remove.
And then greed also, right? Greed.
Lust, greed.
Envy, greed.
No, it doesn't. You keep pulling, everything starts coming out.
Yes, slowly we will see as we get closer in association of devotees, we will see in one person or the other in devotees, we will see envy, actually. That becomes horrible, actually, because day to day we see the devotees. We feel like, oh, devotees, I should not have this feeling, but I have this feeling. We feel like, you know, okay, that person doesn't succeed. All these bad things about envy, right? You know, that person should not succeed, the project should fail. Then we think, why I should think like this? I know it burns our heart, because at the same time we want to be good devotees and want to be appreciated by Krishna. We know these qualities, this desires will not please Krishna. So we pray and, you know, Krishna, please somehow relieve me of this. And gradually with mercy and when we take shelter, Krishna can help us.
Yeah, it's very, very... Prabhupada said Krishna consciousness is a very simple process. It's a very easy process. But difficult for complicated people, who have complicated mind. So yeah, it's at one level, you know, it's very easy, just chanting, be in association, you know, take prasadam. But when the two people come together, right, any service you want to come together, it's automatically, you know, if the other person does better service, then automatically that envy comes out. Why that person can, you know, is able to do better service than me. Instead of, actually the spiritual, you know, the platform or the quality we should cultivate is, when you see other person doing, you know, better than us, we should be very happy actually. Let me help that person to make that service even better. That's actual quality, you know, Vaishnava. We all have to, Vaishnava quality, we have to come to that platform. But of course I am struggling, you know, from day one I am struggling, but it takes time. But again, it's all based on the sincerity. If you are really sincere person, Krishna will, you know, help you clean off that, you know.
See, that's the contradictory thing. Like, before coming to Krishna consciousness, we all have this illusion that we are perfect, right?
Mm.
Like, you know, I used to think I'm the most perfect person, everything I do is perfect, like that, right? Once we start taking devotional service, we see all these things within us. That is the greatest hit of our false ego. It's like, oh, can I be so bad? You know, can I have such bad qualities? So first we have to face that, okay, yeah, I could have this. Then work on, you know, how can I get rid of this? So that's when gradually we'll become humble as to, like, you know, we don't have any good qualities actually. Whatever qualities we have, gradually, that's actually, it is said that Krishna personally decorates the devotee with good qualities. So that when the devotee comes in front of Krishna, he will be pleased. Krishna likes good qualities like humility, you know, tolerance, patience. So he personally decorates the devotee according to the devotion, the person, with these qualities. Not because, you know, I can to say to the whole world, oh, I'm humble. That's not the real purpose of this quality, is to also please Krishna with these qualities.
What is the what are the steps of bhakti? The other day,
Shraddha.
What is the different
stages of bhakti, right? Like, so it starts with the little faith. So basically, let's say, you know, somebody sees some program devotees are doing outside, somebody appreciates, like, oh, these people are, you know, doing good for the community, you know, they're giving vegetarian food free, something, whatever, they, whatever level they can appreciate. So that gives a seed of faith. So from that, ato shraddha, sadhu sangha, then they start associating with devotees. And they're like, okay, these people seems not so bad, let me check out what they do. Okay, they come to Sunday feast, you know, then they see, oh, there is something for the kids, I can enroll. So then they start associating with devotees and maybe even more closer. Like, you know, especially one Prabhu was telling initially, he was so attracted, like, he said, I want to be exactly like you guys, you know, I want to wear like you guys, wear tilak, like that, you know, that attraction comes. I want to be like you guys. That sadhu sangha, then within the association of devotees will slowly tell us what is the process of devotional service. Like bhajana kriya. Bhajana kriya means okay, they will tell, you know, you have to chant, you have to, you know, stop this for and illicit activities, all those things. Then start the process of devotional service, bhajana kriya.
Anartha.
Then anartha nivritti. Anartha nivritti is, that's why we are struggling. We have lot of anartha means artha is wanted. What we want. Anartha is unwanted things. So unwanted things within the heart, nivritti means they go away. So that is the actually major phase in our life. It may take years or, you know, lifetimes. And all this lust, greed, all these things will go away in that phase. After that, nishtha. Nishtha means firm faith in the Lord and the process of devotion service. Nobody can shake us at that point. Like, somebody can come and say, oh, what are you doing? You know, you're wasting your life. It doesn't disturb us because we are so fixed up that with our own realization that, you know, I have tangible realization of this process. Like how that Prabhu, right? If you go to that Prabhu and say, what did you invested your life for 30 years, you know? Then he will just laugh at us. Right? So like that. Nishtha, then ruchi. Ruchi means the taste. You get nice, that's what we are struggling. We want the taste, right?
Mm-hmm.
Chanting, you know, we look forward. Rupa Goswami prayed. When we chant the holy name, I wish there are millions of ears and millions of tongues. One tongue, one ear is not enough. I'm tasting so much nectar, I want millions of ears. So that is the taste. That's how much they relish holy name. And they and relishing of service of devotees, everything, taste. Then asakti, intense attachment. So intense attachment to the Lord and the devotees. Then bhava. Bhava is like, you know, initial
spontaneous
ecstasy platform. There somebody can manifest transcendental symptoms of, you know, hair standing on end or tears falling.
You see that commonly, right?
Probably, you hear certain people sing Prabhu, you automatically...
No, that's why
yeah.
You see a lot of people
yeah.
Like that. Yeah. When
so
they sing, automatically they...
Bhava and then...
Prema.
Bhava is the beginning stage of Prema. It's like they say it's the initial ray of sun of Prema. And Prema is a full flood of emotions. Like complete, the love is awakened within the heart. So whenever we see the Lord, it's, I don't know what it is like, but anyway, yeah, we can imagine what it is. There's some. So that is the final stage. So if we see all throughout the process, through the association of devotees, by following the devotion service, we can go through all the stages and come to the final stage of love for God. There is a verse, I think once we forwarded, we can re-forward again.
It's so nice to...
Yeah, so that's why when I first came across this, I felt it's so scientific.
So scientific,
you know,
logic.
Scientific means stages, right? Stage 1, he passed stage 2, like that. Of course, some of these can be overlapping stages. We cannot really say, you know, we are only in this stage, you cannot taste this one, that one, like that. But it's very, as we said, you know, given some conditions and you apply a particular method, you'll get a result. It's like scientific.
And the anartha nivritti is the biggest one.
Mm.
Everybody of us, we get stuck. So once you cross that, then it's more easier.
Yeah, after that,
the
stages go very fast.
All the bad qualities go away.
Anartha nivritti is that.
Almost all, not a single desire,
material desires, all that gets cleansed. Only spiritual desires.
So if you think,
you know why it happens? Does anybody know how it happens?
Why it happens?
Or how it happens?
Which one?
Who is doing it? How the cleansing happens?
Yeah, cleansing.
Are we really working hard? Who is the doer?
His mercy, right?
Yeah, so basically there is a verse in Srimad Bhagavatam where Krishna says, Shrinvatam Swakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana Hridayantasto Yabhadrani Vidinoti Suhrit Satam. So he says a person who has developed the urge to hear his messages, the Lord personally from within the heart, he cleanses all the unwanted things so that the devotee becomes situated in goodness and becomes satisfied. So that's what happens. We just express our eagerness.
We can only try.
Exactly. So we can only try. And the Lord within us will do the actual thing.
It's very hard to...
We cannot, on our own, we cannot do it.
So it's all mercy, we are showing our eagerness and some sincerity by, you know, as a baby, you know, they try to jump and they show, you know, I want to walk or something, they try, right? It's like that, we are just doing
immediately
that.
Father picks up, right? Looking at the eagerness. Like same thing, Lord also, when you show really, that's why Chaitanya Prabhu and Nityananda Prabhu, they are always like, you know, why is they are lifting their hands?
Just me.
In the deities, right?
Why?
Yeah, why are they they're holding hands like this? What does that mean? What's the significance of lifting their hands?
Asking help.
Yeah, just like, you know, they're begging for, you know, the mercy, surrender. I'm completely surrendered. Please help me. I want to come to you. Like, you know, that's what...
Yeah, because otherwise in devotion service also we may get into doership. No, I did this rounds, you know, I read this much, no, the result should come. So
that's the problem, right, Prabhu? So here is that conflict of kind that goes on, right? So if, see, on one end, your senses have tasted all the items that are there, so you know that is there. But now you are achieving for a higher taste which you have not yet tasted. So therein lies that conflict, right? So that's very difficult. Intelligence doesn't guide the sense properly, then there's a clash.
Senses are still there in the spiritual plane also.
Yeah, of course. Senses are there. It's just the purified.
Senses will only work for service to Krishna. Otherwise they will not work.
It's purified.
I think Krishna only tells example. The tortoise withdraws its limbs when it's not required and displays it when it's required. So, like that, a spiritual enlightened person uses his senses in service of Krishna, otherwise he doesn't use. So, that's a proper use of senses.
Harivilas Prabhu, very first class of Bhagavad Gita, he said, right, your intelligence should guide your senses, not the senses guiding you. So he said that, and that stuck with me for a long time, but it's still not working. That's the problem.
It's a gradual process.
This is you
cannot say you don't have taste.
Yeah.
See, you are coming to this program, right? So this itself is a taste. It's, there is some happiness, or rather, you know, you're able to do some sacrifice. So that itself is a beginning stage. So but the taste we talked about, that's really, really high level. That, you know, I don't know when we will achieve also. But these stages we can tangibly feel.
See, anartha nivritti, right? For example, if you have, like I gave one example. So if you see somebody, are you becoming happy by seeing that person, or are you becoming envy? If I see somebody, okay, maybe tomorrow I go to work, right? Somebody, you know, he may be a better, like whatever, you know, like skill wise, right? Everybody has their different skills. Maybe one person, you know, he may be better than us in the work actually. But when you see that person, are you going to be really happy, or, you know, are you going to get envy? No, I want to really defeat this person, I want to put him down, you know, I want to grow. Like those kind of qualities. And if you see somebody, you know, relatives, right? Especially I've seen, generally this happens in relatives, you know, somebody, your cousin or, you know, extended family, they may have, you know, they may, by again, it's all Lord's mercy, right? He bestows the mercy. He may make that person very rich, or, you know, they may buy him some property, right? I know a lot of people, they bought a property, like maybe 10 years. Now they have, you know, that's multiplied or tripled. So when you see that kind of situations, inside, are you feeling happy or are you getting hurt? No, really, those very practical,
yeah, very,
if you
very
are
practical
applying.
In
Prabhupada example, Prabhupada gave the example of the brother. If you like your brother, you got a rich bracelet,
no,
and your envy thought will come to your...
No, this you can apply. Always remember this when you visit to India, or, you know, it comes actually. You see somebody who maybe, you know, see, again, everything happens because of the Lord's arrangement. For you, because you are on a spiritual path, you are trying to achieve something. And Lord will arrange that scenario.
So that you will realize you are on anarthas.
So that's a test
actually.
You can
work on it, right?
So Lord always puts tests. Every day you will get some tests actually. Lord will always put tests. So Krishna will test you whether, you know, whatever you are trying to achieve. Because see, we are all trying to go back to Godhead. Right? We are trying to chant, you know, we are trying to get the spiritual knowledge. Then Krishna will put the test. So saying, you know, okay, let me put some tests for this person. He puts the test. Based on your realization, whatever, you know, you have so far learned, are you going to apply that and cross over that test, or, you know, obstacle? If you cross over, then Krishna will, you know, he'll make you advance. That's a spiritual advancement
that's
you are making.
Make advancement.
That's how we make spiritual advancement.
Prabhu, if you test us, if you test a metal bar, it will stretch as long as it was. If you test a twig, it will break.
No, it will break. So what Krishna does is,
yeah,
again he gives you the opportunity.
Right.
Again he put, so one until you cross the test, he will repeat the test.
Basically the main another point principle that Prabhu was saying is, we get tests, right? Sometimes, you know, we have to really overcome that. Otherwise, we keep getting into the same situations again and again until we learn what Krishna wants us to learn. So we may think, you know, oh, I'll work around this situation, you know, I'll maybe leave this team or something because, you know, this person I'm having issues with. But you'll see the same issue with some other devotees in a similar way. Something like that, you know, then you'll figure out, I have to really, you know, get over this problem.
That's true.
Until that time, you know, we'll be, then Krishna will give a higher, it's like that high jump thing. You have at one level, you run, practice.
Raise the bar.
Then you raise the bar again, mm-hmm, like that. That's how you grow. Yes. That's why it's continuously very dynamic. It's not very stagnant.
It never gets stagnant.
Adaptive test, Prabhu. First question easy. If you answer that correctly, next question will become otherwise.
Otherwise we may feel, what is this every day chanting, 16 hours reading? What is the, you know, excitement?
How will you
excitement
test?
Is this. Excitement is tests are going to come. We are going to be challenged. Our faith is going to be challenged. So many things, you know, health will go down, you can't even be able to chant, or, you know, some other problem with kids, something, and all these things happen. Within all these things, how we can keep focus on service to Krishna, and how we can be faithful to know that, you know, commitment that Krishna, I want to come back to you. So that is the real essence. Things are going to be, Krishna, what did Krishna describe this world as?
Dukkha.
So by definition, there is going to be problems. So we can't expect that, you know, it's going to be a rosy ride or, you know, royal ride.
Yeah, if you recognize those for what they are,
yes,
yeah,
it's very tough. As you said, you can look at them as tests, you can look at them as
But again, you have to be conscious to look at them. At
yeah, that's why you have to be conscious.
Finally, you can see in that way in everything you are really conscious of Krishna, right?
Yeah.
Instead of thinking this as, you know, oh, this person did this to me. Let's say, you know, maybe you lost a job. Instead of, you know, my manager was cruel, he didn't have good terms with me, so he laid me off. Instead of thinking like that, where you are thinking of that person independent of Krishna, you can be think about, you know, okay, Krishna somehow arranged this. Is it because, you know, maybe, you know, I'm supposed to, you know, I didn't do a good job at my work, you know, I'm supposed to be more diligent, so I've done all these lessons and do better service. Or maybe, you know, I have other opportunity which I'm waiting for me, let me look out for that. So many ways, in these ways, we are remembering Krishna so much. Actually, Queen Kunti, she is very, very exalted, right? Pandava's mother. Many, many acharyas, there are prayers of Queen Kunti in Canto 8, chapter 8 in first canto. So, all the acharyas, they relish the prayers and, you know, like so much the depth they analyze and they take strength from her prayers. One of her prayers, you know the verse from
Vipadasantu
Tashashwa Tatra Tatra Jagadguru Bhavatu Darshanam Yatsyat Apunar Bhavadarshanam. So we did that exam, right? So we had to memorize all these verses. So where she says, let calamities come again and again. Because when calamities come, we remember you again and again. And when we remember you, there is no remembrance of, there is no encountering of birth and death, repeated birth and death. See, we may think, okay, we may pray like, oh, I don't want this obstacle, I don't want it. But
don't
actually,
want to pray like that.
In that obstacle, if you're remembering Krishna, then, you know, that is the ultimate thing.
But it is easier to remember Krishna in calamity than in...
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's probably what
Kunti Devi prayed. Because
gives me more trouble so that I remember.
See, Pandavas, they never had a rosy life. Mm. You remember, right? They never had a rosy life. Every moment they had problems. And Kunti Devi was always with Pandavas, right? She never, you know, saying you guys have always a problem, I will stay with, you know, separately
king,
or something.
She
never said that.
She
stayed with, always with Pandavas. So she went through all the problems. So finally, you know, when Krishna was leaving to Dwaraka, she prayed this prayer. No, I wish, you know, all the calamities will come again and again. Of course, we never recommend people to pray like that to Krishna.
Yeah,
you should not, because she is a very pure devotee. She is completely pure. And
Krishna thinks, oh, this guy is sincere in praying like he gives calamities.
Oh, that's what I was saying the other day. You know, if you stretch a metal bar, it will stretch.
We
fixed it.
So don't pray like that. Of course, for us, you know, we always ask for protection.
But this is what I'm saying is the how they see the
already overburdened.
How they see the Krishna conscious devotees, how they see calamities as Krishna's mercy. You know, that's the goal we have to come to. Day to day life, when we have reversals, somehow we should see Krishna. Then we can be Krishna conscious both in happiness and distress. Then we transcend happiness.
No, but in happiness, as you said, sometimes you think less.
Yes.
Of
very less.
I think it's maybe male
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Very, very less.
Sir, Kabir Doha is there, right?
Yeah.
Sukhme Sumiran sab kare, Sukhme kare na koi, jo Sukhme Sumiran kare, to dukh.
Because that's also fruitive actually. The Dukhme we do because we want to get relief of the distress.
Mm-hmm.
It's not because, you know, Lord, you know, you are merciful, suddenly I see your beautiful face. It's not. Because, you know, I'm struggling, I want relief. That's
sure.
Also selfish.
Again, I will come in the center.
Exactly. It's very selfish.
Yeah, that's why, you know, Prabhupada clearly emphasizes bhakti is beyond that actually, right? It's pure goodness.
So in one of the verses also Krishna says about like majority of the people who come to Krishna consciousness, 99% of the people who are in distress only.
Yeah,
right?
At some point we turn
four.
And see.
Therefore, says that verse
laughing.
Yeah, you're always, you know, distressed or inquisitive or you inquire, want of money, right?
Four kinds of
people they take Krishna consciousness.
Just one more sidetrack. So that they were there during Vaikuntha Ekadashi, there was there. So Harivilas Prabhu was saying, you know, you're going through the Swargavasal, they say in Tamil Swargavasal, I don't know what's the real term. They're saying, going through that, don't ask Krishna for money, no, because he'll give too much. So pray for something better.
Yeah, wealth. Okay, that was text 31. Text 32 was... Yeah, it was straightforward, right? That we discussed, like, you know...
Heavenly planets.
Even for Brahmanas, if they do the puja, everything, they also go to heavenly planets. And even the fighter also, if he gets killed, he also goes to the heavenly planets. So they achieve the same goal.
And we all know that heavenly planets doesn't mean kingdom of God, right? Because here also, once we go there, once the pious credits get over, we have to come back.
Yes.
So we know.
So it's a different shape. It's not spiritual world, it's different from the heavenly planets. So heavenly planets are within this universe, and spiritual planet is outside. Right? So here it's basically mentioned heavenly planet. So you know, you get more enjoyment in heavenly planets. Whatever here we enjoy, it's much more multiplied, you know, many times. So you'll get a lot of enjoyment, your life is longer. So you release like anything. After you finish all your pious credits, you fall down again to this earth.
But people will go from there to spiritual world.
Yes, there are people, yes, they can go to it.
But
slowly,
it's more,
you know,
difficult
they,
there.
Because you have so much enjoyment.
Because so much enjoyment.
It's very difficult. Only, you know, fixed, determined people can maybe take...
Many people, devatas, actually they pray to be born in the Bhumi, Bhuloka. This is like, you know, ideal, you know, mix of happiness and distress. You can't be too happy for too long and too distressed for too long. So
you mean most of the people will get liberated from earth to spiritual?
Yeah,
it's
easier. That's a maximum, yeah.
Yeah.
It's easier.
This is much easier.
It's much easier.
Like
very rare.
jump.
Not many people go to spiritual world.
Correct. And that's
very
what
rare.
We were, when we were coming in the car today evening, we were discussing this. What
that's
else?
A good topic.
Yeah. But then we were saying, very. We have been through almost all the four yugas. In Kali Yuga also almost 5,000 years we are here, and we are still here, and we are still struggling with this.
Yeah.
How long is?
It's very, very rare.
Yeah.
To go to spirit.
But
it's not
still
easy.
Be there, right? I mean, because
you know,
but the thing is that all four years we had chance to go up, right? We still are stuck there. This is like, you know, banging against the wall again and again and again, still banging and banging.
No, but you have got chance.
We had chance for four yugas, Prabhu.
No, that we don't know, right?
We don't,
we
know.
Don't know.
We may be
we
always
do.
Be born in Kali Yuga,
yeah.
Who knows?
It's very difficult to trace back.
Yeah, that's
yeah. We'll know. You can't. We won't be able
but
to.
Because you're not necessarily
it.
A human in the
yeah.
previous
yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that's
like,
why. You would have gone
yeah,
through.
Yeah. Yeah.
See, human life you get through only once you go through the almost 8.4 million.
Yeah.
That
in 8.4 million, we cannot do all these things.
Yeah,
or even
it's rare chances are rare.
Either 8.4 million species here, or in the heavenly planet, if you are pious credits are done, you get human life, right? Or you again go back. If your pious credits are done,
you get mostly the human one. That's
yeah,
what. But anyway, these are all very intricate, like, you know, very complicated. Yeah, it's very.
Worst case scenario.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's very difficult to, you know.
Who wants to get all his credits covered? He's writing down the words in this.
Sangeetamataji is prompting him from the phone, probably.
Yeah, it's very difficult. It's not that easy to. But anyway, now we have got, see, everything
chance.
Is getting revealed. This, you know, should best make best use of bad bargains.
Should
so
we
I
forget actually? What?
No, so if let's say, in this life, if a person, you know, just takes sannyas, goes to the forest and just chants, so is that like a part of liberation if he doesn't do service?
No, I don't think. In Kali Yuga, I don't think.
That's why I don't know how genuinely...
He just lives by himself.
Yeah,
so
but...
It's kind of an isolation.
No, but you think that person is a very genuine following
yeah,
the...
He has good intention, that's why he's chanting. He's a
but
he
will get benefit.
Life.
Yeah,
okay.
You will get a benefit. For doubt, no doubt.
If you can do it, yeah, definitely it works.
Yeah, it works for sure.
But mostly people cannot do it. That's
yeah, it never recommended in Kali Yuga to go to forests. And especially you don't find really good forests for spirituality. So Prabhupada mentions that. Even in 65 only, he couldn't find many places. He says very clearly, you know, there are not many places. And also in Himalayas, there was one, this is a very nice story. So in the 70 something, so there was one sannyasi, one who was living in Himalaya, right? Caves, they have a cave. So this person was living in that cave. And he had put a saying, you know, this is mine. Nobody can take up that this thing. Then the government came and they had to arrest him and take him.
Why?
Because he was claiming that this is his cave. It's government property, right? It's not, nobody can tell it's my Himalaya, it's one part is mine like that. So he was telling it belongs to mine. Like, you know, he was telling. But government has to come and arrest and take. And another case also, you know, the, we heard that one another group came and occupied. One sannyasi groups of people, transcendentalists, they were sitting. So next time, you know, another group came and, you know, they occupied the place. So it's all, you know, like again.
There also.
So you get a lot of troubles. But Prabhupada, yes, if somebody is very sincere, see, if somebody takes up a really, you know, determined effort to follow Bhagavad Gita, chant, sit somewhere, for sure they will get benefit, no doubt. But higher than that is, you get, first you properly follow yourself and you teach others. You help others to get also the knowledge. That's even more higher than just going to forest and practicing yourself.
So essentially
yes.
There are two types of people. This is called, one is called Bhajanaanandi and the other one is called Goshnanaanandi. Bhajanaanandi means he does his own bhajan. And you know, he thinks about like, okay, my salvation. Goshnanaanandi is he practices bhajan, helps others also become on the path of salvation. That is much more, what to say, recommended or even encouraged or
it's,
even appreciated.
Yeah, because Krishna only says.
And that is more practical also. Because you are effectively engaging in service all the time and dealing with the world, everything. And much more practical and you will be much more protected also.
Yeah.
So Swami will be much more protected because he got me into this, right?
Oh, we'll get
yeah, if you bring one person,
yeah,
he's
bring
Sahu got me. So
your
yeah,
ticket to spiritual world is
yeah.
reserved already.
No,
so
really,
yeah.
Sahu.
It's like
no, it's the biggest. Actually, it's the best
yeah,
benefit
yeah,
you can
yeah,
do.
MV, it's
yeah.
like MV, right?
Yeah.
Who started, he gets lots of credit.
Sahu,
we call it Godway.
It's the best that,
yeah.
benefit you can do to anybody.
Sahu bought me. I bought.
You had
like
a question for me? No.
I'm just raising
okay.
my hand like that.
Okay.
So, Sahu, we got my wife, his wife, then one Puja, that one lady, and then all three got. Then
wow.
Ravi, then.
No,
so you can
soon
start your own group nicely. No, all the group members.
Yeah. No, in fact, in our apartment, I think everybody has attended BYS, right? Yeah, Lakshmi
also.
Yeah, everybody. Yeah.
So only the gents are remaining.
Only three people are here now.
Yeah.
Gents will come automatically. Once the ladies takes up,
yeah.
then the gents will come.
what was the other Bhajanaanandi and?
Goshtanaanandi.
Goshta.
G-O-S-T-A.
Goshta.
Goshtanaanandi. Anandi.
Okay, it was a good discussion. So we'll start with text 33. This 33 to 37, it's kind of, you know, so Krishna describes, Arjuna doesn't perform his duty, so what's the loss? Or since he's going, what happens if he doesn't does his prescribed duty?
He gave the disadvantages.
Disadvantages.
31 to 32, he gave what are the benefits of fighting. Now he's going to give what are the losses of not fighting. So in all angles, basically, 33 to 37.
Okay, let's cover that section. It's very straightforward. 33. Atachetvam imam dharmyam sangramam na karishyasi. Tata swadharmam kirtim cha idva papam ulapsasi ata cheta tumundanyam sangramam na karishyasi tata swadharmam kirtim cha idva papam ulapsasi.
If, however, you do not perform your religious duty of fighting, then you will certainly incur sins for neglecting your duties and thus lose your reputation as a fighter. Purport. Arjuna was a famous fighter and he attained fame by fighting many great demigods, including even Lord Shiva. After fighting and defeating Lord Shiva in the dress of a hunter, Arjuna pleased the Lord and received a reward, a weapon called Pashupata Astra. Everyone knew that he was a great warrior. Even Dronacharya gave him benedictions and awarded him the special weapon by which he could kill even his teacher. So he was credited with so many military certificates from many authorities, including his adoptive father Indra, the heavenly king. But if he abandoned the battle, not only would he neglect his specific duty as Kshatriya, but he would lose all his fame and good name, and thus prepare his royal road to hell. In other words, he would go to hell not by fighting, but by withdrawing from battle.
Yeah, because remember, Arjuna first, one of the reasons Arjuna gave is, like, you know, fear of sinful reactions, right? He will go to hell. He was afraid. So, but Krishna is here saying, not by fighting he'll go to hell, but by not fighting he'll go to hell.
It's interesting, right?
Hmm.
So, Arjuna thought, he calculated that he is committing sin by killing his kinsman. But here Krishna is saying that he is going to go to...
you'll incur sins by neglecting your
duty.
By neglecting. If he doesn't fight, then he is going to incur sin. So that's...
which calculation should we take?
So one is Arjuna's calculation, and one side it's Krishna's calculation. So which one should we follow?
That's obvious.
No, because it's all right, practical. So every day we depend on our own
calculation. We think this is good, this is bad, right?
This is moral, this is immoral. It's all based on our this thing.
We conceived something
in mind. We think it's okay, it's good. But we are not following Lord's instructions.
Mm.
So that means whatever, you know, we generally think and we do on our own, we are going to incur sin. Some kind of sin we are going to incur. Unless it's authorized by scriptures. So for example, if you take the current the system of the government, like, right? So what are the four... irreligious activities which we discussed, four pillars of religion.
No meat eating,
no gambling,
no illicit sex,
and no intoxicants.
Yeah.
So is this current system, does it provide facility for all these four? It do.
It helps,
right? By one way or the other. By gambling, how does it help? By opening?
Casino.
Giving permission?
Casino.
It's right here in...
there are many.
It's in Washington area, only. You don't have to go to Vegas. You can go here also.
I-90.
It's closer. Then, what about meat eating?
It's a butcher shop everywhere.
It's a slaughterhouse. Very, very automated slaughterhouses. You won't believe. 6 billion pigs or something. They kill every year. It's there is a number. They keep track nicely, so it's there. Then intoxication.
Beer industry is thriving.
The beer industry, you see, every day there will be one brand or, you know, something like, you know.
Now it is more because the government has stopped. They close their own state-owned shop.
Yeah, now they gave bigger, made it bigger through Costco.
Bigger, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Through Costco will be even more bigger now.
Now they're saying, like, one of the legislatures, he said that they are trying to introduce alcohol in school, give the taste of alcohol in school, so that kids will do it and taste it and not do it again. And some will actually yes.
Oh my God.
I just heard that same pattern.
And these are discussed by the officials who people have elected. It's not that, you know, it's some new person who has come. It's some legislature. People have elected. And the illicit connection? It's very common, right? They give permission to have the legal brothel or, you know, abortion. All this thing, it's very legal now. It's not. So these are all based on our own or government laws, right? It's based on our calculations or our conception. But it's against the Lord's scriptures. Whatever Lord has given the scripture, it's against. So we are always accumulating sins, actually incurring sins. But anyway, of course, as a part of the society, we cannot go and fight. We cannot, you know, I have the scripture. Of course, you can always argue with somebody, but not, you know, as a fighting, killing, all this. We cannot do it because we are part of a society. But to get protection, That's why it's recommended we should chant, you know, you should take up our devotional service seriously. Then you will never give, because Krishna sees that you are putting your effort, then of course the reactions are not going to come to you. Even you are part of it, but you will never get a sins for it.
So when Krishna left the world, right? So at that time, Srimad Bhagavatam is the one which has the embodiment of all religion and this thing, for to give light to the society in general. And then immediately after Krishna left, Kali started entering. So basically Dwapara Yuga ended and then Kali Yuga started, right? Next Yuga. So Kali came in the form of a
cow.
Bull. Mm-hmm. He came in the
not
form
a
of
Kali. Not Kali. No, the religious principles too.
Okay.
As a cow.
Oh, Kali came as
that
a man and he was, you know, killing the hiding the bull.
No, he came as a king. Like, you know, like basically Kali is considered a Shudra, but he dressed as a king, as a royal king.
Mm.
And he was taking the
stick
and he was beating the
cow. Last leg of
the cow. Basically, cow took birth, came as earth, right? The whole earth, it came as a cow. Basically, cow and bull. They should be always, you know, to produce grains, milk, all right? It's always protected. So the cow came and this Kali was beating the last leg. That's the truthfulness or something.
Yes.
You know, it stands on the.
So then Parikshit Maharaj was a king. Parikshit Maharaj, you know, is the grandson of
Arjuna,
right? So he is the one, he's a king and he's ideal king still. And he wanted to protect the citizens. And he found out that there's some atrocity going on in his kingdom. That, you know, some man is beating a bull, like a cow. How is it possible? Then he tried to stop and he stopped. And then Kali said, you know, it's time for me to come. So give me some place. Then he said, he did what first? What did he offer place to live?
All the four.
Yeah. Then he gave these four places for Kali to live. Where meat eating happens, where intoxication, illicit connection to women and gambling. These four places and also a place where lot of gold is accumulated. So these are the five places Kali can reside. So that's why devotees, when they are recommended to not follow these, we are actually protected from Kali, influence of Kali. Even though we are in this age, around so many things are going on, we will be inoculated.
But all these four are okay, but gold
and that's
understandable.
Mumbai cannot understand. Everybody give me your
car keys and everything. No, what happened? Very interesting. I only covered the topic. I only covered the
speech
connection
outside.
Yeah, basically minimal things you should have.
Minimal
for marriage, especially, you know, for women.
When you have a daughter, you got to get the
gold. No, minimal stuff.
Minimal things, okay.
That's true.
But not
but
according
is it true?
Gold.
No, is it true? All everybody, do you think keeps minimum? Is it true? Women
no,
generally keeps
true.
Minimum.
Yeah.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
That holding of the gold gives rise to envy and lust.
Okay.
Because other person will be envious.
But
so
in the temple, there are a lot of limited
minimum.
No,
in the temple,
limit.
Like
recently
in Kerala,
somewhere
the. No, it's good.
But
the Lord
you can use.
Lord you can keep. Yeah, Lord you can.
Not for personal.
Not for our.
Use it as a form of.
So, you should always know, because I gave this class, anyway, I don't think I can recall the exact points. But what happens gold? What's the bad thing about gold? What happens if you give the gold?
It's envy, it gets others get jealous of you.
Yes,
and
that's
just
a very good
in a party,
point.
One woman is just like, you know, showing off everything. You go back home and trouble your husband, right? Oh, I don't have this necklace.
But
right,
that will
so
be a test for them, right?
No, see, how does the Kali represent? How do you
but
know the
Kali
is
acting
there?
Basically,
material,
yeah,
what?
Triggering
material
them.
Things.
No, even in lower this thing, how can you represent there is a Kali?
There is anxiety also.
What is Kali
right.
Like? What is Kali like? What is this? I thought Kali was like because of instrument, the age of tools. So. I never knew this Kali.
So there is a personality behind the yuga also.
Yeah.
Okay.
Personified.
That's
right?
The person's name is Kali.
But why did Krishna let Kali come and corrupt the rest of the world? Like why?
That's how the four yugas are. Like that's how supposed
because
to be.
Because you have to get
you get the next. Because
next
we all learn.
How will
we
get? Yeah. How will
you
get?
We have to have Kali yuga to come.
Okay. Basically, Kali is represented by hypocrisy and quarrel and hypocrisy. That's where it's usually the Kali. So anything you see, quarrel will be there, right? Especially, you know, as you said, gold, right? Especially, if you see another person, immediately you get greedy or jealous. And you go and fight with your husband or wife, whoever. That's where its quarrel starts. And hypocrisy is everybody wants to take credit for what they don't even deserve. It's very, very, if you analyze this one, it's very much true. Even if you do something small, generally this thing is to make that as a bigger, as a show and take the credit. You will never try to give credit to other person actually. If you analyze, that's what it happens. So that's what Kali represents or Kali Yuga represents. It's always hypocrisy and quarrel.
But even that was there even during the age of Krishna, so why did Kali suddenly become one big thing? It was already, the whole of Mahabharata is all about greed, hypocrisy, this. I haven't seen intoxication anywhere.
But we are talking about, converse is not true. That's the statement, right?
No,
doesn't mean
like
if
Kali
these
was
are there.
There the,
No.
The ages, so what made
Kali
it?
Was not there.
Kali was,
that.
No, it's not like if these are there, doesn't mean Kali is there. But if Kali is there, these are there. Converse is not true. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
Symptoms of Kali are all these things. And we know right now he's in Kali Yuga. So these are the symptoms. We are seeing that. And during all the ages, maybe there are all these things, but doesn't mean Kali is there. There are different yugas, right? There are names given and all those.
Or
things.
Maybe it's even, these qualities may be existing a little bit, but they are not predominated.
Yeah.
Predominating the whole
so
society.
So much whole society, whole.
Like Satya Yuga and all? No. You may hear some stories that may be set as a moral stories or something for the next yuga, but it's not that these qualities are predominated everywhere and they are the main emphasis.
Now we see yuga, it's only this.
Basic quality.
Practically, just what you said, it's required in the at least in the corporate world, right? Otherwise, people will do a small work and the way they showcase, right?
I always get amazed when stock market, right? Whenever they do, for example, Microsoft. You to take Microsoft. Every year, it's not that they're going loss actually. If you see, every year they make money. It's not that, But then, even after making money, they say they're not making money, so they lay off people. Maybe Microsoft may not do it, but other companies, even if they have some fixed percentage of whatever, the growth they need to have. So what they do is, even if they don't reach the 10% or 15% whatever, immediately they think the company is not doing good. And they let people go. It's, I heard olden times, it's just even the company, if it just stays, whatever it's doing, if it's not going negative, right? If it's just doing good, they never let people go. It's not I'm the company. It's all about human, right? How much human the company
is worth. That is called socialism here.
Mm. Yeah.
If you distribute wealth, that
so
is called a socialism.
So but to see what has happened here, it has been growth of greed has been exponential. See, previously, 20 years back, the average CEO pay was around 20 times the average worker's pay. Now it's 200 times also. If you do, it's difficult to get that. Think about that. How much is the CEO of Boeing or Microsoft making? How much is the average worker making? Right? See where the
that's what they say. When the executives they figured that I don't have enough share, they lay off certain people.
Correct.
From them they can get
so they right. have to do so what they do is they cut off the 10%, their 10% salary goes to the bonus as all the executives.
That's right.
I mean, if they reduce the operational cost, obviously that is how they will be the bottom line.
It's very interesting how the society is going, right? It's there's no value for human this thing no more.
Yeah.
It's just that money, how much
how you manipulate the other people.
Yeah.
I was doing my MBA, that was one of the exercises we did. So our manager has given these targets to achieve and how he does that. Straight, you want 10% growth, here is how I show 10% growth. It's not actual growth. He cuts off the overhead by selling machines that are required for the thing. He sells off, he cuts people off. And then he says, look, I saved 10% for the thing, now give me my bonus.
That is not helpful in the long run. They
never
continue
in the long
doing
run.
That.
Yeah.
But every businessman has to do some degree is changing. Someone is doing 80%, someone is doing 20%.
That's not a problem. See, once
my question is different. My question is everyone will have to suffer, all businessmen, because they are doing more manipulation than the worker.
Yeah.
Maybe worker is doing it at a different level.
Yeah.
That's a different story.
That's right. Okay, so coming back to this, the main thing which Prabhupada is emphasizing is that Arjuna has a great reputation as a fighter. Some examples are like he could even defeat the Lord, or rather he demonstrated his chivalry to Lord Shiva and he was pleased with that, and he gave him Pashupata Ashra. And even his own teacher, even though he knows that Arjuna is going to kill him with the same, you know, with the same things he learned from him, he gave all the special weapons to Arjuna and he blessed him. So given that he has such a reputation, for him to, you know, lose that reputation is very painful. That's what Krishna is telling. Right? You will lose that reputation as a fighter. And not only that, second point is he will also incur sins by neglecting your duties. These are the two points. So the two, you know, disadvantages of not fighting. Okay, we'll go to the next one, Prabhu.
Yeah. This is more. Text 34. कीर्तिमिच्छति भूतानि कथयिष्यन्ति ते व्ययम् सम्भावितस्य च कृते मरणादतिरिच्यते अकीर्तिमिच्छति भूतानि कथयिष्यन्ति ते व्ययम् सम्भावितस्य च कृते मरणादतिरिच्यते.
People will always speak of your infamy, and for a respectable person, dishonor is worse than death.
Mm.
Purport. Both as friend and philosopher to Arjuna, Lord Krishna now gives his final judgment regarding Arjuna's refusal to fight. The Lord says, Arjuna, if you leave the battlefield before the battle even begins, people will call you a coward. And if you think the people may call you bad names, but that you will save your life by fleeing the battlefield, then my advice is that you would better do die in the battle. For a respectable man like you, ill fame is worse than death. So you should not flee for fear of your life. Better to die in the battle. That will save you from the ill fame of misusing my friendship and from losing your prestige in society. So the final judgment for the Lord was for Arjuna to die in the battle and not withdraw.
So I'm a bit confused, like why does the Lord have to frighten Arjuna into, I mean, he already has given convincing arguments about soul and, you know, everything.
So he's approaching different angles, right?
So now he's actually, this is almost taking a very simplistic route of, you know, telling him, if you don't do this, you know.
As a friend. See, that's why Prabhupada says here, as a friend. If you're a friend of somebody.
So this is simple advice, right?
Yeah, no, as a friend, you will try to forgive all the angles. And this may be, you know, this, you're really talking as a friend here. Not as a, you know, spiritual master. He's really, as a friend, he is really giving his advice.
Yeah. I mean, if you read Mahabharata also, right? In different circumstances, Krishna, you know, gave what you should really do as per the scriptures.
Mm.
But there was a lot of manipulation as well. I mean, in the sense that depending on the circumstance and how the nature of the person can really understand, you know, they did that. I think this is a classic example of that, right?
I'm coming from, like, I have this very highly potent philosophical angle, and then this is coming down to the very basics, right? Hey, if you run away from now,
Arjuna's basis for pushing back was also that. I mean, he also gives so many of reasons.
Yeah, he is covering all the grounds.
But just to answer those contra answers to those questions,
but Arjuna never claimed that he is going to flee the battle, right? He was saying, I will just sit here and die rather than killing them.
I will not fight. He said, I will not fight.
Even though if I get killed by them.
Yeah, he said, I will become a beggar, but I will not fight. That's what he said.
Yeah, the beggar will only happen when you flee the. So it's a different angle of how you.
Prabhupada, here, right? Well, it's very clear. If you respectable, if you don't fight, dishonor is worse than death. That's the main thing. If he doesn't fight, that means he's already getting a dishonor.
Mm-hmm.
So even he doesn't have to flee, actually. Even if he sit there and if he doesn't fight, that means he's getting dishonor. Because of, he's so qualified, actually. Mm-hmm. Because he has so much of
reputation
and it makes sense, right?
So
for that kind of reputation person.
An example was there is very nice king and queen. We don't know the names, but in the history. So the king went to for a battle. And then suddenly, queen, obviously, she was in the palace and, you know, she's waiting for the husband to come back. And she saw her husband, king, coming back. And she saw he has wounds in his back. And he's like, you know, knocking the door, open the door. Alone, he's coming back from the battle.
Mm.
Then the queen said, you know, you are my husband, king. No, I will not allow you to come. It's like, oh, anybody should be eager for her husband to come back. She said, no. You either go back and, you know, win the enemies or you die in the battlefield, but you cannot come like this.
Mm.
Basically, you ran away, showing your back to
Real Kshatriyas, they never show their back to
back
the enemies.
Back to the enemies.
Always.
So then he become very inspired. So he goes and he basically conquers the enemies and comes back. So there, that time, you know, even queens were like that spirited.
Actually, I have heard even more severe stories in India, and like even as not too far away, like it was the Rajputs and the Muslims.
Women also
when they were fighting, I think one of the Rajput kings used to like his queen very much, and he used to keep going back. So the queen actually sent her, he veiled herself, and she sent her head to him as a gift, like, look, here, go fight the battle. That was which king?
Jhansi.
It wasn't Jhansi.
She cut her head off.
I remember this story. Remember, I think it it happened in not so distant part.
Yeah, so Prabhupada gives many examples saying, 100 years back, 200 years back, right? A lot of the kings in Rajasthan, all these people, the kings, they used to take, just like a knife or something, they used to go. They used to fight with a real tiger.
Yeah.
Tigers, real, you know, they go to the tiger and they used to fight. That's the Kshatriya power. And he says, you know, lately it's all, they hide in bunkers.
Yes.
And he compares, a commander actually, right?
Mm-hmm.
In the wards, he's supposed to be
in the
front, leading actually. Everybody, he should be in the front. If he dies first, that's what it's, he goes to heavenly planet. But Prabhupada says, you know, lately, you know, all these commanders means they will be in the bunker somewhere, which nobody knows. No, they will go into the bunker, right? They have the bunker, safest bunker somewhere. They go inside. So it's all completely opposite principles we follow.
It's a bigger part of me. You have to save ourselves first.
Okay.
And this is very much true that, you know, honor... it causes, what does it cause? You know, dishonor is worse than, right? If somebody is very honored, like you've grown up, right? Very honored, respectfully and all. If they get something defamed, right? Something small thing. More than material, like physical pain or thing, the mental agony they go through. That's the worst actually. Somebody who's...
There was this McKinsey chairman, Rajat Gupta. He was really well respected and... very famous and stuff, and just one incident like that
insider trading
and his entire reputation everything is gone, like, and
so for those kind of people they cannot show their face because
they
lost everything, they dissolved there. That's how they
many people even material wealth suddenly we heard one story, right? Somebody was very rich, he has like multiple I think some
in
number of kids,
Bengal.
Boys, right? No, he had here only in
this.
He had nice, like, you know, some kids, like elderly kids, and one car for everyone, and very much opulent. Suddenly he lost in stocks, everything got lost. Then he couldn't figure out how he will sell, so he basically
killed
everyone.
Mother-in-law, everybody killed, and he also died.
Because, you know, he cannot imagine
in California, I think
life without that prestige.
But at the same time,
when
the honor killing that is happening in India, I mean,
that's
the
No, it's
right.
Not
allowed.
Yeah,
no.
There should not be called honor killing, actually. I don't know what the honor behind it.
That's
an
oxymoron.
That's
an oxymoron. But how is this? I mean, the final judgment of the Lord was for Arjuna to die. But Arjuna was really hesitant because he knew that he's going to win against everyone. He's not going to die. He will only kill people, right? I mean, bottom line is, Lord also knew that Arjuna is not going to die.
Nobody makes their promises explicitly, no? Because I'm telling you to fight. If you fight, I'll guarantee that you'll win. That's not what he said. It is irrespective of whether you just do because I'm telling you to do. Forget about victory or defeat.
Die,
That's the platform he need to add. Eventually, obviously, Krishna will protect him. But
for us
also, you know, sometimes we given some service or something, you may feel, oh, I'm a devotee. everything is going to be successful. No, that's the whole thing. You know, sometimes we don't know how. All we have to do is just stick to the principles and stick to the services and, you know, do it at the best ability. But sometimes we may get opposite results.